Hello, and welcome to this half hour with Rallitz Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallitz, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, and every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our weekly Bible study. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking through the book of James at some different aspects of how our Christianity might be more practical and more applicable to everything that we do through life. And we certainly want to continue to encourage that. I want to continue to encourage your growth in Christ. And I know that many of you, I've had more feedback recently about our radio messages, and I'm so pleased with that. I appreciate that so much. When you see us out, let us know that you're listening and that you're tuning into that. And it really helps encourage this radio ministry, and we're just proud to be able to do this. And I look forward to it as we go out throughout this course, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach here on the radio. And I also like to take just a moment, if I could, and let you in on a few birthdays or anniversaries that are coming up in our church family here at Rallitz. We are just certainly a one big family. That's no doubt about that. I've never seen that. We have a brother here, Danny King, and Danny says this is the getting alongest church that he's ever seen, and I believe that with all my heart. They certainly are folks who love one another and love to get along. Over the course of the week, on Friday the 17th, Miss Erica Bruton will be celebrating a birthday, as well as a couple of anniversaries over the course of next week, and I surely can't leave these out. If you see Chris and Lori Meredith out and about on Tuesday the 21st, be sure and tell them a happy anniversary, Chris and Lori Meredith. Also, the day after that, Miss Danny and Carol King will be celebrating their anniversary as well. So two anniversaries there right in a row, and some wonderful folks, both deacons here at Rallitz, and I love these men and their wives and their families and what they mean to me, and I appreciate them so much. And I want to, if I could, share with you for a little while this morning out of a subject. I guess we might skip around and look at several verses, but certainly a subject that is very close to my heart. I'd like to begin in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in verses 12 through 14. And really 14 be our emphasis verse, but definitely want to be able to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, about God intending His work, everything from teaching a Sunday school class to pioneering maybe a brand new missionary effort to starting maybe a brand new church from scratch. Everything that we do as Christians must be led by the Holy Spirit. So Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Listen to these words that were penned by the hand of Paul the Apostle, but by the heart of God Himself. Through the Holy Spirit and His influence upon Paul, these words were penned. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I love that. By the Spirit, if you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, as I said, God intended His work, everything from teaching a Sunday school class to pioneering a brand new missionary effort, to be marked by a similar flow of a spiritual kind. The Bible calls it being led by the Spirit. And as I went through the Christmas story over the past couple of weeks, it amazes me as to the amount of times that you read, even the birth of our Lord, even in the way that God came into this old world in the incarnation, how many people were allowing themselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. I read about Joseph and Mary as Joseph was led by the Spirit of God not to put Mary out but to bring her into his home even though it had been revealed to him that she was pregnant with child. I read about how that Mary, it was put upon her by the Holy Spirit himself to give her that child. I read about they were led by the Spirit into Egypt to escape Herod's travesty of murdering all the young babies there in Bethlehem and around in that age. I read about Simeon and Anna, as we went and studied on that a little bit past Sunday, they talked about Simeon and Anna and how they were led by the Spirit. Everywhere we see people in the New Testament and they're being led by the Spirit. They're being moved by the Spirit of God. We had a young man stand and give testimony this past Sunday, and he talked about how that God had laid it on his heart to let the congregation know that if anybody would like to pray, if anybody needed a prayer partner, that he would be there for them. We've had women, listen, Rowlett's Baptist Church today, I honestly believe this, they're being led by the Spirit of God. And I hope and I pray that as their pastor that I can keep up with what God is doing in this congregation. The men and women are being led by the Spirit. They're following the Spirit. They're doing what God has asked them to do. And I'm amazed at how the Spirit of God is. I see it working through the New Testament. It's continuing to work in our day and in our time. God intended His work to be a Spirit work. The Bible calls it being led by the Spirit. Yes, there are important doctrinal principles to learn and biblical facts to nail down. But friend, listen to me. At the same time, only God the Holy Spirit can weave them all together in a seamless, almost unconscious way so we can touch people with God's message of love. What we need is that unique merger of divine truth, human personality, and Holy Spirit gifting that produces effective ministry for Christ. You see, the living Spirit of God can give us direction at critical moments. He can indicate to us what to say, what not to say, how to react by the schemes of Satan. He gives us the mind of Christ and spiritual clarity regarding what we are really up against. You see, dear friends, the Holy Spirit today is the only one that you'll find. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it in the writings of man. You can't find it in the principles of mankind. You can't find it in the doctrines of morals. You can only find it in the Holy Spirit of God. Impart wisdom and discernment that no school can teach. These are absolute essentials if we are to be competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Equipped by God, listen to me, we can successfully compete in the great spiritual contest that's called the gospel work. Today, dear friends, there's a battle going on around you. And during this Christmas time, we see that many liberals, many people who want to contest the birth of Jesus, it'll rear its ugly head in a very powerful way right now. I have stood in the pulpit, my friends. Listeners out there, you'll know, maybe you have as well, some of you preaching brothers, some of you brothers who are aware of the spiritual battle. I've got a few men that I know are aware of the spiritual battle going on all around us. And from Sunday to Sunday, sometimes it seems as if the Holy Spirit will come upon you just as easily and as powerful, and the preaching comes in a nice flow, and it seems as if God's people's hearts are receptive to what God is trying to do. And there are other Sundays it's like pulling teeth. It's a battle. There's a battleground going on, and you try as a minister to grab hold of the Spirit. You try to preach in the Spirit, to lay all things down at the feet of the cross and be able to display God's power at work in your life. And I'll tell you, friends, sometimes it's very hard to do. Sometimes there's a great, great challenge. But just as there are people who watch from the bleachers and never know the challenge of competing on the court, we have millions of churchgoers who sit in pews every week without ever entering the game. They sacrifice nothing. They strain toward no ministry goals. They never agonize in prayer for not one soul, but they pass judgment on how well the contest of faith is being played. Often they act as if they know. It looks easy from where they're sitting, but then again, they've never really attempted much for God. You see, the Christian who's willing to risk body and soul in the struggle against evil is of a different mind. Oh yes, of a different mind, a different kind of Christian. He knows that there will be difficult moments and all kinds of pressure. He knows that he will need to summon all of his strength as well as all of God's in order to prevail. He's a champion for God, and he dares to plunge into the battle. Now we'll read about two such valiant warriors in Acts 13 and how they started a historic ministry for Christ. It all began with the leaders of the Antioch church doing some very strange things to our modern ears. Listen to this word from Acts 13. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And so Paul's first missionary journey, as it called, was launched, affecting the whole future of Christianity. Two men, but led by the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, listen. These men were not sitting in a boardroom making strategic charts on a whiteboard somewhere. They were not huddled around their computers working on spreadsheets. They weren't listening up to the best new program that somebody else had to dial up and tell them it would work. Instead, they were having a time of worship, praise and prayer, all intensified by periods of fasting. E. Stanley Jones said in one of his early books, "Most people plot and plan themselves into mediocrity, while now and again somebody forgets himself into greatness." Can I repeat that for you again? I hope that I didn't stumble through that and cause you to miss this great quote. E. Stanley Jones said, "Most people plot and plan themselves into mediocrity, while now and again somebody forgets himself into greatness." The brothers in Antioch forgot about legitimate things such as food in order to heighten their awareness of the spiritual realm. Now listen to me very closely. God, the Holy Spirit, seems drawn to such times. When you and I wait upon the Holy Spirit in this way, He speaks to us and tells us what we need to hear. But friend, if we're always busy working, if we're always busy doing, talking, handing out materials, fielding phone calls, we miss the chances to listen and to get our ears tuned to His voice. These men in Antioch in Acts 13 quieted down enough to hear something from heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad today that I can say there was a time in my life when I heard something from heaven, when I understood the fact that old Dwayne Cook was a sinner and that he needed to be saved. Listen, that was a message straight from heaven. That was the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. I like it when churches get on fire. We were at a revival not long ago over at Wickerville Baptist Church, and I believe that God spoke and those men and women there began to hear God. I've been in revival services, not as the pastor, not as the evangelist, but I've made it a point in my life to try to go around to different places, and I want to get hold of the Holy Spirit. I want to know that God's moving, and I've heard Him speak in the lives of congregations, and I've seen congregations that are one time failing and fluttering and falling off all of a sudden begin to be built up, and every once in a while, we'll forget about the things of man. We'll forget about the things that we decide are going on, and sometimes we'll listen ourselves right into the way of the Holy Spirit, right into the measure of God. Don't you want the measure of God in your life? Don't you want to see God moving in your family? Don't you want to see God moving in Hart County, in Horse Cave, in Mumfordville? I want to see God take this place. I want to see God move in the people's hearts. And listen, it's got to begin where? In you, friend. It's got to begin right where you are right now. Maybe in that truck, in that car, in that business, in your home, somewhere right now, if you'll just allow the Holy Spirit of God to whisper into the very chambers of your heart, He'll make a difference for you. But it takes us allowing God to work, not by planning, not by precision sometimes, but allowing the Holy Spirit to move. In the Old Testament, we often read that God said such and such. Likewise, in the Gospels, there are dozens of places where Jesus said. Now, the same pattern appears in the book of Acts, only in this case, the Holy Spirit said. You see, this too, this also is a living, speaking, divine person, the third member of the Trinity. He gives divine leading on what to do in order to advance the kingdom of God. All of us who say we want to build the kingdom of God must stop and admit our need of a divine leading. There must be a living interaction between us and the Holy Spirit, or else we will not get far. And you'll say, Brother Dwayne, it's supposed to be Christmas time. A lot of the others are going speaking on Christmas, friend. Let me tell you this. I cannot give you a better example than Christmas time to show people that we're led by the Holy Spirit. If you want to see the Holy Spirit come in its closest down to earth, you need look no further than the old manger in Bethlehem. You need look no further than the Virgin Mary's arms, because in there you'll see the Holy Spirit come in flesh in order to dwell amongst men. The Holy Spirit must show us how to carry out the great commission of the church effectively, both in evangelism and in discipleship. Now, we don't know precisely how the Holy Spirit expressed Himself that day in Antioch, but it seems reasonable to me that it was some kind of a spiritual gift, perhaps what 1 Corinthians 12 calls prophecy. The directive of the Spirit came through human instruments. Friend, let me tell you something today. If you want the Holy Spirit to do a work, you've got to give Him a tool. And the tool that God desires the most is you. Your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your hands, your feet. The Holy Spirit needs you following and listening and being led in order to accomplish great, mighty things, not for your name's sake, but for Christ's name's sake. Christmas time. Christmas time is when God came and dwelt among His people, and the Holy Spirit desires to live in your heart. I know there are men and women who desire to be used by Christ. They simply need to allow themselves to become a tool. I like what they said in Acts 13. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul. The Spirit was claiming these two men for a special mission. Think of the spiritual drama as the living Spirit put His finger on these two individuals in the midst of the other leaders and possibly the whole congregation. The Spirit has His own strategy and plans for the church. Notice the wording of verse 2 in Acts 13. For the work to which I have called them. Who could ever possibly direct the affairs of the Christian church better than the Holy Spirit? If He gave specific instructions for the work back then, what verse in the Bible says He doesn't do it now? What verse in the Bible says He doesn't do it now? What has changed about the world? Us? What has changed about us or the world that we don't need a specific leading on who, what, when, and where? Church boards, church meetings, all those things do not include times of prayer and waiting on God for His direction are a disgrace and a blight to God's work. Do not have a church meeting. Do not have an evangelism strategy meeting. Do not get together and decide on how you're going to better build the kingdom of God unless you first do it in prayer, unless you first do it in the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to tell you that I've got all this church figured out. I'm not trying to tell. I can't even tell you why Rowlett's is being as successful besides this. Everything that I do, everything this congregation does, everything that we rely upon and depend upon, we pour prayer into it. We beg God to help us in it. We ask God to move through it because we understand, friend, that we are weak. We are nothing. I am low down. I'm not worthy of God's grace. And yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit, mighty things can be accomplished. It takes the weak things of this world to confound the wise. And I wonder what would happen if we could lean even more on the Holy Spirit. How could we be wiser than God the Holy Spirit? Think of all the church decisions, both in personal and finances, and that are made without even 10 minutes of serious prayer. Somebody said, 10 minutes, that's a long prayer. No, it's not. It's nothing. No Bible doctrines. previous and vital as they are to us, can replace this kind of specific leading by the Spirit of God. Listen to me. The leaders in Antioch could have read the whole Old Testament, inspired by God as it is, and yet never have known that the Holy Spirit wanted to send out Paul and Barnabas specifically. It took direct intervention by the Spirit to get God's work going God's way. And I know that's what we need. We need God's work going God's way. Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field." Matthew 9:37-38. In our churches today, we have a lot of critics and lots of people who like to discuss things, but not too many workers. Notice, though, that the directive is to pray that the Lord of the harvest will raise up and identify these needed laborers, that God Himself will bring them into the mission field. And so now I've got to wrap all this up. Led by the Spirit, we need workers. The harvest is white. Everything there, everything ready. It reminds me of another time, friends, when Israel was at a low point, when the people were suffering, religion had lost its love, religion would begin to weigh upon the common people, and Israel looked like Rome had overtaken them. There seemed to be no way out. The government was too much. And there was no road to salvation except this. Baby Jesus, born in a manger, in the perfect timing, God's perfect plan. And there we find the people receptive, looking to do God's work in God's way. If Christmas time says anything to me, it says that we must too still be led today by God's Spirit. Light the night with Jesus. Oh, holy night. Oh, Christmas time. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Christmas born itself in my heart in October of 1991, and He hasn't left yet. Jesus is born, hopefully, in your heart as well. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You so much, dear Lord, for this time of year that men and women might become more focused, more in tune as the fact that God is still living, God still reigns, God still desiring to move upon the hearts of His people. And so, Lord, I pray that even as though we read of in the New Testament all those wonderful people who were led by the Spirit, that You might begin to move in Your churches, in Your people's hearts, that we too might say that we've been led of the Spirit. Thank You, dear God, that You came and You were born of a virgin, that You lived life as a man, that You might know what it's like to suffer, and that You took that suffering to the ultimate height upon the old cross of Calvary, and that the blood You shed was shed for us. Thank You, dear Jesus, for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.